Krishna Tava Punya Habibai. Krishna Tava Punya Habibai. Control F. Final page. 35. Okay. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Gopi Janabalaba Girivara. Saki Radha Madhava ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Chandraya Mandir ki jai, Narayanam Namaskrityam,
Narayanam Namaskrityam,
Naram Chaiva Narottamam,
Naram Chaiva Narottamam,
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam,
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam,
Tato Jayam Mudirayat, Krishna Svadama Upagate,
Krishna Svadama Upagate,
Dharma Jnana Ribi Saha,
Dharma Jnana Ribi Saha,
Kalo Nasta Drisha Esha,
Kalo Nasta Drisha Esha,
Puranarko Dunoditaha,
Puranarko Dunoditaha,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 3, Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Yeah? Text 35. Evam. Janmani.
Janmani.
Karmani.
Karmani.
Evam Janmani Karmani. Hyakarturajanasyacha. Varnayanti smakavayo. Veda guyani hritpatahe. Bolye.
Evam janmani karmani.
Yakarto ajanasyacha.
Vatnismakavayo.
Veda guyani hritpatahe.
Evam janmani karmani.
Yakarturajanasyacha.
Vanayanti smakavayo.
Veda guyani hritpate. Who else? Mataji?
Evam janmani karmani. Hyakarturajanasyacha.
Varnayanti smakavayo.
Vedam guyani ritpate.
Evam janmani karmani. Yakarturajanasyacha.
Evam, thus.
Sounds like thus, huh? Evam. Okay. Janmani.
Birth.
Karmani.
Activities.
He certainly.
Akartahu
of the inactive. Ajanasya
of the unborn.
Cha
and
Varnayanti
describe.
Sri Chaitanya Kripa Bhado. How's it go? Gunanu Varnana Vidal. You're always describing the activities of Lord Chaitanya. Gunanu Varnana Vidal. Sagaswami. Okay. Kavayaha. Is he learned? Veda Guyani. Undiscoverable by the Vedas. Haritpatahe. Of the Lord of the Heart. Evam janmani karmani hi akartur ajanasya cha varnayanti smakavayo veda guyani hritpatahe. Thus, learned men describe the births and activities of the unborn and inactive who is undiscoverable even in the Vedic literatures. He is the Lord of the Heart. Peace be upon you. Thus learned men describe. The births and activities
of the unborn
and inactive, which is undiscoverable,
even in the Vedic literatures.
He is the Lord of the Heart. How's it go? Janma karma. Right? Same thing, no? Janma karma chame divyam evam yo. Veti tat bataha chakva deham punarjama naiti mameti sarjana. Yeah. So if we understand that these incarnations, right, then we're not going to take any more rebirths. All of our projects in our acquisition of knowledge will just go on forever. But right now it's all going to come to an end. Yes. Okay, per report. Both the Lord and the living entities are essentially all spiritual. Yeah? Therefore, both of them are eternal. Neither of them has birth and death. The difference is that the so-called births and disappearance of the Lord are unlike those of the living beings. The living beings who take birth and then again accept death are bound by the laws of material nature. But the so-called appearance and disappearance of the Lord are not actions of material nature, but are demonstrations. Demonstrations. Yes. Of the internal potency of the Lord. Yeah. They are described by the great sages for the purpose of self-realization. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord that his so-called birth in the material world and activities are transcendental. Okay? So we already quoted this. Yeah. And simply by meditation on such activities, one can attain realization of Brahman and thus become liberated from the material bondage. In the Shrutis, it is said that the birthless appears to take birth. The Supreme has nothing to do, but because he is omnipotent, everything is performed by him naturally. Parasya Shakti Vibhavdaya Shuyate. Swabhavika Jnana Bala Jnana Bala Kriyacha. As a matter of fact, the appearance and disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his different activities are all confidential, even to the Vedic literatures. Yet they are displayed by the Lord to bestow mercy upon the conditioned souls. We should always take advantage of the narrations of the activities of the Lord, which are meditations on Brahman, in the most convenient and palatable form. Jai. Krishna Lila ki da. Krishna Bo ki da. Mahabharata? Yeah. Hridayananda Maharaj said that Madhvacharya said that the Mahabharata that we have, of course there's different ones, is corrupted. Some things have been added, some things have been taken out, and some things are in the wrong places. So when you're reading the Mahabharata, you have to kind of watch it in terms of the stories and stuff. But of course then we have, the Bhagavatam and everything else to judge the stories and everything else by that. In Ramayana, Prabhupada just basically says, he says Valmiki Ramayana. He doesn't make much qualification about its being like correct or incorrect, so it seems like it's pretty correct. What are the pastimes we have? Bhagavatam, Vishnu Puran, yeah, there's some stories, a lot of stories. Any other stories? Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's another incarnation of the Lord. Yeah. And all of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Leela. Chaitanya Bhagavat. Yeah. And what else do we have? Gopala Shampoo. Do you use Gopala Shampoo? What is a shampoo?
Shampoo is a work of literature that combines poetry and prose.
Yeah, like that. It's very natural. You say a poem, but it's so concentrated, it is, you got to go in prose, you then slow it down, explain it. So it's very natural, mixing the two. Yeah. What else do we have? We have Bhagavatamrita, which is all Gopakumar. Gopakumar is going to Maloka. Any other pastime books? No. Yeah. Lilamrita, by Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Apparently recently, was it done? Bhakti Vikash Maharaj went through and with suggestions for changes, mistakes, and not too many, but some. He's a pretty rigorous guy, and apparently Satsuru Maharaj accepted most of them. A couple of them just argued about or whatever, discussed, but most of them said, "Yeah, that's correct." So we have pretty authentic biography. What happened? Again, we're mentioning Arnold Toynbee. I don't know, he's one of the biggest historians in the modern world. And he said there's three kinds of history. There's the half-truth, the distorted truth, and the damn lie. Okay. He said any history which describes pretty clearly who were the good guys and who were the bad guys and what actually happened and who was responsible for this and that. He said it's almost for certain you're dealing with Category 2 or Category 3. If you can't figure out who really was the good guys and the bad guys, you know, ultimately, and what actually did happen, this and that, it's probably okay, the best you're going to get. You know? So same way, Lilamrita, people to the last Prabhupada disciple is dead. He's still arguing over, you know. Prabhupada came out and said, what is the use of your 10-minute lecture if you take a book as so-and-so, you know? But other people can say, Prabhupada said, what is the use of your 10-minute lecture? If you take a book, meaning that if a 10-minute lecture, you take a book, then your 10-minute lecture was valuable. Other people say, probably rejecting 10-minute lectures. You know, so it's a different humor, different mood and stuff. You know. So anyway, this is the story talking about all the incarnations. And right here is a whole list of incarnations, one after another. Then also we have what? We have Jayadeva Goswami. He has so many works. Who else did Lord Chaitanya like? Lord Chaitanya liked Jayadev?
Chandidas?
Vidyapati. You know? Vidyapati says Vrindavan is a very strange place. You know, it's starting to become evening time and becoming the clouds become a little dark. And clouds are starting to form overhead and threatening to drop to rain, you know. And it's not at all a good time for a young girl to be out running around like that. There's tigers starting to make noise in the forest. You know. But still, one gopi is running, you know, down the pathway through the forest with all of this. And even the thorns and the bramble bushes are actually catching her sari and tearing it a little bit like that. So she's so anxious to meet her beloved, you know. So Vidyapati says, Vrindavan is a very strange place. You know, only in Vrindavan does the honey run after the bee. Radharani Kijar. See, very Lord Chaitanya. I forget, you can look it up. He wasn't contemporary exactly. He was was he before? Before, yeah. Where was he from? Was he from North India or Gujarat? Gujarat side.
I think it's the Bengal area.
Bengal
or Bihar, okay. Maybe East Mithila. No.
Yeah.
Northern tradition.
Okay. And then Chandidas, you know, they're nice in biographies, you find them. Lord Chaitanya was their poetry and stuff. Another one is Krishna Karnamrita by? Yeah, and when Lord Chaitanya came back from India, he was traveling all the time, walking on foot with nothing. He brought two books back. In other words, these two books are, which are? Yeah. So very, very. You see, I told all of his followers, Andrew, this is the essence of the Vedas or the essence of Vaishnava culture. And then Sarvabhauma Bharat and everybody else were copying them. There's a very, very nice movie by Madhva Sampradaya. ITV has it. It's a biography, very precise, very nice. You know? And it shows him traveling, this traveling Sankirtan party. They would walk everywhere. Somebody had a drum and they were just like chanting little kirtan as they would go along. And somebody else would be carrying the books. There'd be a couple guys carrying books, Maybe eight people. So they come into some town and who's this and everybody else, and okay. Then he starts giving some lectures and the local Brahmins come and they argue about everything and discuss it, ask questions, and they finally say, okay, yeah, this is, we're convinced, we want your books. And so then they start having the scribes copy them. Prabhupada said that one time. He said, you could copy the books by hand. But Prabhupada, he said, well, it will take so long, Prabhupada. And he said, well, what else do you have to do? If you're living in a civilized place where human beings are meant to live, I've heard that human beings are meant to live where palm trees will grow. You got palm trees growing, producing coconuts. You got coconuts and bananas, it's finished. You can live a long, happy life, with just coconuts and bananas. In Ecuador, I think the bananas are like 35 cents a box or something, like that. You're not paying for the bananas, you're paying for the box. You go out on a country bus in big, dark Shamasundar rain clouds, and you go up on the top of the thing and looking, and as far as you can look in any direction, it's just like bananas. It's like, can I have a banana? It's just like, they grow, naturally. Yeah. Somebody came to Ecuador, one peninsula outside the main capital. This guy said, you could feed one third of Europe on this thing. It's just, they have three, you know, bingo, three harvests a season. You know, roots, fruits, everything else. Permaculture, everything else, they work on the thing. You can have three levels of roots, right? You know, surface roots like that. Then you can have strawberries, blueberries, and something else. So within one area, you can be cultivating six vertical levels of things. And the leaves from the tree fall down and prevent weeds from growing on the so-and-so. If you actually learn this, you can have incredible agricultural stuff. But we don't want to teach people this because then they become independent. Yeah. Very little space. You can grow like incredible things with very little effort. You have grass all over the place. So you got to come and just dig it up. It's a big job. No. You have all these newspapers coming you don't want, right? Just take them out and put them over there, you know, and they're going to get wet, they just stay there, and then toss all the grass clippings on top of that. The old grass just dies out. Toss some seeds. Don't even plant them. Just put some seeds there, and the melons will grow up. They'll dig in. And then you have all those soils all cleared, and it's growing certain kind of things like that and stuff, you know. You got molds, right? Molds in Spanish. Topos, yeah. And they come and eat all the roots, right? But they hate marigolds. Yeah. And they don't go that deep. So what you do is you plant marigolds around your area. They come, they go, you've got to be fenced. Another thing you can do is you can take empty peanut butter jars, right? And kind of bury them in the ground up to the lip. And then the wind hits them, and they kind of blow them. You know? And the moles are underground hearing this like, it's like that. Yeah. So many ways, you know, you can live very naturally, very simply, you know, where human beings live, these areas. And then there's so much time then. The Prabhupada says, what do? You can spend the time, you know, just writing down the Puranas and things like that. If you have good handwriting, you know. And then the pastimes. And so Madhvacharya would show up and then we divide everything up and maybe give like, you know, maybe a 400-page book or something, but you divide it amongst 20 scribes, and he's got to do 20 pages in a couple of days. Finished, yeah. Copies are made. So they didn't have photocopy machines. They didn't, you know, mass distribution. They just go with the book, original, and make copies that way. You know? And also, people had something really, really strange. You may have heard about this, you know. Nowadays, not so many people have this, but now really, then it was very common. It was called memory. Memory? Yes, memory. Yeah, like that. Yeah, they could hear something. Socrates, these kind of plays, Euripides. You know, what the other guy? Antivirus. You know, Antivirus, the great Roman antivirus. Antivirus. You know, always do. Anyway, they would hear a play. You know, and they would then after that they would memorize it. They would memorize it just by hearing it like that and so on. You know. There are a lot of techniques, even now, that's available, these memory techniques and stuff. Once you train with them and you're raised with a, you know, good memory and a culture and stuff, then yeah, it's just, you can memorize so much. And your subtle intelligence, well, how big is your subtle body? Because at certain points you just can't remember anymore. You know, so you've got to actually start forgetting some stuff to take some more stuff on board. So how big is your subtle body? Right? So how big was Bhaktisiddhanta's subtle body? Would you like to debate with Bhaktisiddhanta? Would you like to even meet Bhaktisiddhanta? He said, oh, you're a theologian? No. I know nothing. You know Sanskrit? Yeah, he was, you know, terrifying. Yeah. How big was his subtle body? How many? Yeah. What are the stories about him?
Yeah. He's a mathematician, astronomer, yeah.
Yeah.
So offered the chair.
And every book he ever read, he remembered like that. And still, yeah, he wrote a lot of books. And then you start going through. You start, you know, readjusting your library. You know, connecting things up and building these links and stuff and so on. You know, was your father, your grandfather? No, Nityagora Sundar's grandfather. Okay. What was his name? Kanwar Chandra Prakash. Kanwar Chandra Prakash Singh. Okay. He started a lot of Hindi studies under the British and everything else. So he said they lived in a village outside of Lucknow. You go on the main road to Delhi, you take off at Sadoli, head left, and you come to Didichikund, where Didichi gave his bones up. It's a nice place, but the size of this room, a little narrower, a little longer, and nicely maintained. And now, keep on going, you actually come to Naimisharanya Mandal, you know, where the sage has spoken. It's still a very significant pilgrimage place. Things happen there and stuff, and different retreats, and there are ashrams there. You know. So right outside of that is their village. What the name of it is, you know. But they lived there. Everybody lived there. And he said most of the people lived in the village at that time. I interviewed him. 1935, 1940 or something. And, you know, most of the people lived in the village. There's Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, Shudras. So there were intellectual people there. There were people organizing people, keeping the peace, managing people effectively. But now everybody's moved to the city, and so all the country people are left alone without any kind of guidance or protection. So they're falling into mode of ignorance, watching television as their guru and stuff, you know. You know? And they only go to Lucknow, and you had to do something. You had to fill some forms out, make some application. Okay, you have a townhouse. You steer, your whole village shares a townhouse, and keep a few servants there to keep it, you know, keep it upright, you know, and stuff. And do your business and get back. Go back again. Live in the country. He showed me one tree where everybody would always come every Wednesday, Tuesday to bargain. It was, you know, barter. Some carpenters would come and make an agreement. Okay, I'll fix this for you. Give me so many grains make almost no money. So all the barter was done in terms of, like, you know, grains and ghee, because you can grow all the vegetables and pick them wild in the forest, you know. But ghee and grains, yeah, those last. And yeah, what do you need? You know, if you got strength, you can build a house. It was very simple. He was describing it. And he said, actually, it was very pleasant, you know, very, very nice. You know, and I was asking him different questions. You know, then he also was talking about the Brahmins. You know, he said there were yatra parties. They would come, maybe they had two bullock carts, just full of stuff. You know, these bullock carts, some of them have wheels like 3/4 as tall, or half as tall as this wall, like that. And they're big. You know, you see smaller ones now, but some of these things had big bulls, you know, and big bullock carts, and they could, you know. See, when they would come, yatra parties, maybe they'd come like 15 people, 18 people, and they would put on Ram Leela or something and all this stuff. Maybe stay for 4 or 5 days, and during the daytime they would teach classes to the kids and show them how to do stuff and that kind of stuff. And everybody was wonderful, you know. And they had certain places they would go and repeat. And when it was bad weather and stuff, they would stay in there wherever they were and practice and, you know, get ready and stuff, you know. And so this was a lot of the education, the culture was this, the yatra parties coming through. And doing different pastimes and plays and dramas and puppet shows, yes, I love puppet shows. Easy to do, yeah. And then the Brahmins, they said they knew, they weren't usually so educated in Sanskrit so much, but they knew the Puranas and everything else quite well. And he said they were very, very intelligent. He said they would feed them like, you know, Kshatriyas, he would feed them like every month, different Brahmins, and invite them and give them very opulent food, everything else. And also a 50 milliliter silver lota full of ghee, like that, along with it. But everything's cooked in ghee also, you know. And he said these guys had such brahmacharya potency, they could lift it up. Otherwise, it just turns into diarrhea, everything else, and goes down, you know. So these guys, they're shakti and everything. They could lift it up, and then it fertilizes very, very fine intelligence. Because you got this big, big library, big memory, you got to keep it, feed it. You know, for that ghee gives the energy to keep all this stuff in place and so on like that, you know. And he said these guys were so powerful, they knew everybody and what they did and what their attachments were and what their problems were. And they knew everybody and stuff. And yeah, okay. You know? So the Kshatriya was very respectful because they knew these guys could ruin them. Yeah. Chandikapanda says you can, a Brahmin, you know, the king can, what's his word, ostracize him, but he can't take away his possessions or physically, you know, chastising. But if you start acting improperly, you can say, sir, you have to leave our community. You know, take your things and leave. You know, like that. So the king should always remember that an intelligent man with a single idea can destroy his entire kingdom. Like that. So this is real Brahmins. You know? And then the GBC respects them. Yeah. They can, that's their control. You know? So anyway, they would recite the Puranas and everything else, and everybody was so enlightened. Late at night, hearing these things, and all night long you'd be, you know, waking, you'd be dreaming about them. And all day long you'd be talking about them and arguing these points when you're working in the fields and stuff. So very, very simple culture. You know, Lila Smarnam. Lila Smarnam. Yeah, yeah. So any comments about this here? The pastimes. And they describe what? The unborn and unmanifest. You know. Because everybody's so much addicted to matter that in the beginning you've got to say that Krishna is not material. What is he? Okay, we'll describe that after you stop smoking and drinking like that and stuff, right? You know. And you come to this point where you're out of the gross concept, then you can start to like and appreciate that, well, there's still form, you know. If you're in prison, you know, for so long, you've forgotten how you got there, and you think, well, you know, they give me breakfast and lunch and dinner here and all this kind of stuff, but if you get out of prison, what do you eat? You know? what can you eat? You know? One devotee, Ujjwala, who was in prison for, he was actually in a mental health prison, you know, Vacaville. It's a mental health prison. You know the place? Yeah.
Well,
it's the state prison for the criminally insane. And he was in there, devotee. I was coming home on the train in the municipal train in San Francisco one time to our temple, and coming across the city, the Inn Judah, and people were kind of smiling at me and going Hare Krishna, you know. And one black guy said, "Right on, Hare Krishna." It's like that, you know. So I came into the temple, a little temple there, and the devotee said, "Did you see the front page of the Chronicle?" I said, "No, you know, look at it." So in the corner it says, "Hare Krishna sets fire to Charles Manson in Vacaville Mental Health." So every image you could get, you know, Charles Manson, you know him? He was this cult leader guy, and the followers, they murdered and stabbed and all these young actress and all these people, like three or four of them, like it was a really brutal, like rich witchcraft thing, you know. And the trial was even more weird, you know. So he was kind of like one of the most hated people on the earth, you know. And then Hare Krishna, so Hare Krishna sets fire to Charles Manson and criminal mental health facility. That made now you know how to do Sankirtan, right? That made the front page. Because everybody hates Charles Manson, but they go, yeah, the Hare Krishnas are like, crazy enough to do something like that. So they had some kind of like, was it like work therapy place where you build birdhouses or something or make, you know, something, you know, inmates can do something like this. And so Charles Manson was saying some really bad things about Prabhupada, you know, and stuff. And so Ujjwala took some paint thinner and poured it on him, set him on fire, you know. And then the guards came over and, you know, put him out and told Ujjwala, "No, don't do that again." Setting Charlie on fire like that, you know. So on, you know. He had the impulse control of like a 5-year-old child, a little bigger there. The 5-year-old child becomes, you know, impulsive. It's just, you know, can't control themselves. They become angry or greedy or lusty, you know. So he had that mental problem. Like he would just get like, and the problem was he was bigger than anybody in this room. He actually killed his father. You know, so I became this during one of these times. Anyway, interesting guy, you know. I forgot why I mentioned this. So, you know. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I was corresponding with him when he was in jail. He got out. And he sent me their breakfast menu, you know. It was Kellogg Special K. It's like a totally weird, nutritional weird. It's kind of, what do we call these things? Puffed rice things without the protein or something, you know. Then they had, Tang, which is this powdered orange drink, and then coffee or something, you know, powdered coffee, you know, and then powdered eggs and that stuff. And at the breakfast, you just looked at it, it was like, like that, you know. Just, you lose all impetus to escape or anything. Yeah, the menu was just like unbelievable, you know, stuff. Okay, so what do you eat if you get out? Yeah, there's so many things, you know. So many things, you know, so on. So we start hearing these pastimes and stuff. They give us impetus. Right? Yeah, finish off one more thing here. Actually, this is a story. There's only let's see now. Jayatirtha, Brahmananda, and Nittai. I guess Nittai is still there, right? He became somebody else or something. His name is Nittai. Yeah. What is he?
Neil Delmonico?
Yeah. Okay, he's still around. Maybe he heard it. I was a treasurer. I just joined the temple. We got initiated. We moved to San Francisco. I moved from San Francisco to Berkeley. Then Prabhupada came for the Ratha Yatra. Okay, that and so on, you know. And I had just been initiated. I was stealing burfi and whatever stuff, you know. Whatever. So I was a treasurer. My vocational interest test, and probably to give you vocational interest, this is good, CPA, partner, scientist. Maybe 5 points from zero was banker. Okay. The first job I got when I joined the temple was banker. Okay, you know, it's like, God has arranged this. I had no interest in money whatsoever. And I would just like look at the stuff, you know. I had to like sort the coins, put them in wrappers, take them to the bank, all this stuff. And I would just like, you know, nothing. You know? So finally I had to go through my whole intelligence and work out intellectually why I should do this. You know, it forced me on the level of Jnana Yoga. Because there was no karma yoga in it whatsoever. It was all intellectually, okay, you know, put the money in the thing, he's the temple president, Prabhupada, okay, you know. So Krishna arranged it. I was doing this because I understood why I was doing it at every moment, you know, not because I just like, you know, liked it. You know. Anyway, okay, so treasure. And then Prabhupada came there, and somebody donated, actually it was the, what was it called? Prasadam Distribution International, out of Laguna Beach. Remember that? PDI? Yeah. Rishabhdev and other people started this whole thing called Prasadam Distribution International. But they also were dealing drugs along with it. Stuff, you know? So they came to San Francisco, and Prabhupada was there for the Ratha Yatra, and they gave $10,000 to Prabhupada. Now, $10,000 in 1975, 85, 95, 2005, 2005 for 15, is what are we looking at now? Not that much, 10 to 1 probably, maybe so. So they gave Prabhupada, somebody comes to the temple and says, you know, Arun, here's $100,000 for the temple. What do you say?
Yeah.
How do you move? Yeah. And then $20 bills, you know. So they gave to Prabhupada. And some point along the way, maybe before or after the counting or something, Jayatirtha told Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, there's a lot of very strong, probably, you know, quite accurate rumors that they're also dealing with drugs and stuff like that and selling these things, you know. So do you want to accept the money or not? You know? And Prabhupada said, this time I will accept it. But tell them, you know, it's only one time I'll do it. And I don't want, and we don't need that kind of money. So very clear statement, you know. And then Vajrayatra asked him, how much do they get free from the karma of having dealt with this, you know? In terms of the percentage they gave, that they gave 5% of their drug money, did they get 5% free from the karma? And Prabhupada said, this time, 100%. Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, Prabhupada's dealing pastime. The fact's probably not Lilamrita. Yeah. Okay, so then they call me in to help count the money. Okay. This is my, it was Jayatirtha, Brahmananda, Nittai, I'm coming in. And this is the first time I'd ever been that physically close to Prabhupada or everything else, and I was just afraid he was going to, you know, burn me to ashes or something like that. You know, it was kind of a combination of Yamaraj or something else. And so I came in like, you know, and stuff, and here's your pile of money, and I was counting, you know, and stuff. You know. And Prabhupada was sitting, kind of leaning back, you know, and this, no tape recorder. You know, just preaching, you know. And he said, there's like some mining thing, and country place, and these people work in the mine all day. And some guy comes out, and he's in a little tavern, you know, country tavern by the road, and drinking some country beer like that and stuff, and maybe reading the newspaper or something, you know, resting after this. And some Brahmin goes by and looks at him and says, you're drinking alcohol, you're going to go to hell, you know. And he says, well, my goodness, he said, but I work in the mine, and it's so miserable down there in the dark, and it collapses on people and the air and everything else. And I get out, we take a little beer to relax. And he said, even still you're going to hell. He said, my uncle, you know, my father, you know, they drink beer too. They work in the mines. He said, they're also going to hell. And he said, my whole family were miners. We take a little beer like this. He said, your whole family is going to hell. And he walks off, you know. Probably told the story. Then the man's thinking, and he says, well, my goodness, you know, I'm going to go to hell. My father, my cousin, my nephews, we're all going to go to hell. He said, well, I guess if we're all going to be there together, it won't be so bad. So Prabhupada said, this is the situation, that nobody hears about anything else. He's suffering, she's suffering, she's suffering. Well, I guess that's just the way it is. You know? Yeah. And so there's no impetus. So once you hear the pastimes and the things like that properly and stuff, then you're just like, wow, and you start to, you know, realize how wonderful these things are and stuff. And Yashama Sundar said every single time he opened Prabhupada's door and went in, Prabhupada has something new happening. He said, "Oh, Yashama Sundar, I was waiting for you. I want to do this and that and this and that." You know, yeah. He said this every single time. Another time was it Hari Sori? I think it was Hari Sori. He said, no, Yashama Sundar. So he was traveling to Prabhupada a lot and everything else. He said in not 7 years of traveling to Prabhupada, he never saw Prabhupada sleeping one time in 7 years. So one time on the train together, and Prabhupada had him go up in the upper berth, and he kind of woke up like 1 o'clock in the morning. He thought, okay, now I'm going to see Prabhupada sleeping, you know. He looked down, and Prabhupada went, never was it, you know, 7 years, saw Prabhupada sleeping and stuff. So these pastimes, Leela, are there, incarnation, you know, of Krishna. And hearing about these pastimes, Parampara, Acharyas, and you hear about Bhaktisiddhanta. Bhaktisiddhanta is totally what? Localizable personality. All the way back to Lord Chaitanya is pretty, you know, localizable. Then after that it starts to become one. I guess it's still the Madhva Sampradaya. Still has, you have good biographies on everybody, huh? Ganasindhu, Dayanidhi, yeah?
On the major Acharyas.
They're Acharyas, yeah. What's the word? What's the word? Daneshwar? He's one of the big Acharya. They have it on the YouTube. You can find movies, you know, from 1935 and stuff. Ganeshwar. They're a little different, but they had different pastimes and stuff. They're very enlivening. You watch them and stuff, you know. So many stories. The Madhva Acharya, and then you get impetus. And probably it's the most digestible, easy way. The American Association for the Advancement of Science. You know, it's the topmost. Probably competes with the Russian Association. There's a few others. AAAS. What is their magazine? You don't know? No, huh?
Is it on me?
Their magazine. AAAS is
on me. Oh.
Their magazine.
Nature.
Nature. Yeah, that's the biggest, prestigious, topmost science magazine and stuff. They're still very high, you know. So one year they had their convention in San Francisco, working with the Bhaktivedanta Institute, and they advertised, and they had one section of free movies, continuous screening, 8 hours a day of screening of the very best movies, you know, that they'd selected. These were the best movies in science this year. So I went over, and it was a really painless way to acquire a lot of knowledge. You could watch these movies, and they were good. Yeah. One was called Science, .. Fiction, and it's produced by the BBC. British Broadcasting Corporation. And the main narrator was like about a 38-year-old philosopher, a guy from Oxford. Maybe one of your professors and stuff like that, you know. And he was going through like talking about science and the history of the whole thing. And they filmed a lot of it in one of this old British Gothic chapel, very old thing with the arches and the stones and everything else. But the thing was, it was a chain link fence, and right next to it, and right across from that was like these four radio telescopes, one after another, forming an array. So made this incredible, like, you know, visual, like, metaphor of the Gothic church and stuff, and then the modern science stuff there. And he was outside with it. I didn't even talk about it. But it was really incredible in terms of, like, what science says and what actually happens, you know, the actual embedded assumptions and how it developed, the whole history. I got a copy of it one time. I borrowed it from the University of something. I couldn't find it again. But it's a very well done. And then they made it, you know. In the end, it comes down to showing all these problems in science in terms of information. So the final thing, it shows this rocket, you know, maybe like 3 stories tall, you know, going off, you know, in slow motion, and the gantry is falling away, and the rocket's going up, and the fire, and the smoke, and everything else, you know. And this British guy comes on with a typical British, you know, thing, finishing off, and his conclusion of the whole thing is that science is not powerful because it is true. Science is true because it is powerful. It has no justification other than pragmatic, you know, potency and stuff. You know. So anyway, but it was just movies, right? Movie industry. I talked to Bhakti Charuswami about this. He said, yeah, I get the same idea that Prabhupada did the books and we're supposed to do the movies. There's so many movies here. Take them, it's so unlimited. You know? Prabhupada loved dramas. Prabhupada really, he would get up and One time in Los Angeles, they were doing the kidnapping of Rukmini. Rukmini, you know, right? So they, Krishna got Rukmini on the chariot, you know. Then what happened? You know, this Krishna book says he just got her on the chariot like that and stuff. But Prabhupada just jumped up and said, like, and she wasn't a timid girl. She was Kshatriya. You know? She like grabbed the reins and was like driving the horses like that, you know. Or her husband could shoot at people like that and stuff. Like that, you know? You can see it like that, old humor like that. Kshatriya girl, like, you know. You know, I'll show my husband, like, you know, what I can do. You shoot these rascals and I'll get out of here. I'll drive the car, that stuff, you know. But it's not in the Krishna book at all. You know? But Prabhupada was like describing it like, you know, Lila Smarna. Pastimes are unlimited. You know? You go on, you just get these realizations that, you know, so on. Yeah. So Prabhupada loved dramas. You know? In Los Angeles, New York. I don't hear you. Also some good ones here too, right? Sometimes. You know? So, and then of course it's fantastic preaching. You can probably from the very beginning wanted street theater, wanted devotees to go out and do the pastimes and stuff on the street. You know? He used simple morality plays. Bird in the Cage. That's a very simple one, but the message is very intense. And all you need like is two like maybe gold painted bars or cardboard with some string. Just all of a sudden, whoosh, you got your cage. You got it. They're very quick, you know, you do it and do the play and people watch it and they go around and start telling each other and stuff like that. Yeah, like that, you know. What another one is Scholar and the Boatman. Yeah, there's a few of those, but don't need many pieces of stuff. And then you attract attention. You can get attention pretty quickly, you know. There's a lot of stuff. I know puppets. I love it. Probably a puppet show. We came here with the whole program. You can get like these weather balloons, fill them full of helium. And put big faces on them and stuff, and then have people with megaphones, you know? It doesn't take much. It's a little bit of image to catch the eyes. Eisenstadt's one of the very, very first movie producers. When movies were just being created, they were experimenting with the media. I forgot the guy's name, Eisenstadt's. He said, the movie is a snake made of sound where you hang visual images. Yeah, like that. That's the one. High Noon. Anybody know this movie? Yeah. Was it Gary Cooper?
Yeah.
Yeah. The theme song is the most famous. Do 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 do. It's like it was a complete failure. The movie. The guy sold it, I think, for $10,000. Then the guy went through and did almost nothing in terms of editing the visual thing, but put this theme song in there. Changed the dialogue a little bit, and it's become one of the most classic movies in the history of the world. It's a good movie. It's good, you know, stuff, you know. One guy is a sheriff, and these evil guys are getting out of prison. They're going to arrive at High Noon, and they've come back to get the revenge and kill him, and he goes around trying to get everybody in the town to, like, help him, and nobody will help him in the end, you know, and stuff, you know. So his wife said, we have to run away. And he said, the most famous line, right? It's Doris Day. What is the line, the most famous line? He tells her, A man's got to do what a man's got to do. It's like that. It's like, you know. Oh, please, no. You know, classical images. You know, like, anyway, but totally, it became a super hit. Nothing but changing the sound, linking it with the sound music like that. So same way, puppet shows can be very simple. Right? You stretch a sari out, okay, you got your stage. You sit behind it with your things. You have to memorize the lines, and you get stick puppets. What are stick puppets? They're paper plates with a stick glued on them with faces or trees. You know, you can make them very easily and stuff, you know. Then you got Krishna running through the trees, and somebody is moving two trees like this or something like that, you know. Very simple. But it's unbelievable how, you know, because your mind fills everything in. Your mind doesn't want too much. Your mind wants to, yeah, participate, you know. And then Krishna comes up, this and that, and Kaliya and stuff, you know. So you can add, like, you get the two hands there. You can add, like, arms and stuff. Very simple, puppets and stuff. I've seen this. You get so many people coming then. And you got to start moving, having your program out that because, you know, what you do is you have a series, right? And you finish it off with the cliffhanger, and what come next week to see what happens with Krishna in the water like that, like that. Yeah. So theater, drama, some Brahmins do sankirtan, you know, getting it out, take the stories, and then people want to buy the book. and they want to buy the story. And you could probably said you can print the purport separately. BBT, as long as you don't print more than 10% of the book, you haven't got copyright problems. So you can take it and just edit them into like separate books and stuff, and then people read them. Everything else, out of 1,000 people, 900 will be shoe draws. Skilled labor, unskilled labor, artisans, software engineers. I'm sorry, it's the same thing. Working for somebody else, you got some intellectual ability, manufacturing stuff. Okay, 90 will be vaishyas. They can make some money. The guy who knows how to do something will always have a job, but the guy who knows how to do it for a profit will always be his boss. The vaishyas get the guys doing this stuff, such a way that we can sell it and make profit. And then 9 will be kshatriyas, death before dishonor, right? And then 1 will be brahmins. You need 6 brahmins to worship Radha and Krishna. So therefore you should have 6,000 people in your community before you install Radha Krishna deities. They didn't know this before. So anyway, this is what we got, our society there. And now out of those people then, most people, Prabhupada said Nanda Maharaj could not read or write. He said he would hire some educated fool to do it for him. We said, what to speak of the Gaurals? Prabhupada said, the Gaurals, and the gopis. Most of the gopis couldn't read and write. They were really impressed with the queens in Dwarka because they could do crossword puzzles. Wow, these guys, the girls are like crucigrams. They think, well, what chance do we have against these girls? They can do crossword puzzles. They can, they're so intelligent and clever. Some, of course, obviously, Induleka probably could write, right? And so I was with the one, Chitraleka, because it means like, Leka means writing, But that was, most of them. But Prabhupada said, but they would go to the lectures, puppet shows, organized by the Brahmins. And then they knew all about the cosmos. They knew everything, about everything like that and stuff, because they would go and they would hear. You don't have to have this high-tech thing, learning, reading, and writing and stuff. But some people, the educated then, you put it in popular media, have festivals, the dramas, everything else, and so on. Then expanding very nicely, putting on shows. We're doing this program in South America with these cultural programs like there. And Prabhupada's formula was a cultural program, science program, cultural program, prasadam. He told him, told Sudama Maharaj, you should go with Sudama, with the Age of Kali drama he did, and the Bhaktivedanta Institute program, and go right to Moscow and stuff. The two programs together, cultural program and the science thing together. So, just think about by hearing these pastimes in the most digestible form, like that, and then from that we can, what's it say? We can, what's the translation? Translation?
Thus learning men describe the births and activities of the unborn and inactive, which is undiscoverable even in the Vedic literatures. He is the Lord of the heart.
Okay. But from the very beginning then we have to, right in the very beginning of Upadeshamrita, read the preface, it says, once one is in the mode of goodness, everything else about how to advance will be automatically revealed. Tesham, even Ukamparta, Mahamagyana. Prabhupada said this is initiated devotee. Second initiation. At that point, you should start to trust your intuition. You confirm it, but still, it's like you're maybe this, maybe that. This is probably the way it's going to be. Confirming it. Of course, the sannyasi chitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita. Supposed to be fully appreciating the paramatma feature, the hand of God and things. So it's an intuitive aspect. Does science include this? How?
Scientific inspiration, innovation.
They accept it there as an essential part of the thing, but they don't accept it by itself. It has to be then go down to the gyan level and show, and gyan and gross level and show by rational empiricism. But they accept that there are different scientists who are intuitive, and that's where there's actually the thing of where do the new hypothesis, hypothi, where do the new hypothesis has come from? In the beginning, they tried to create a system of inventing hypotheses. It was called Ars Novendas. And they came to the conclusion they didn't. There's no way to do it. So again, it's based upon, you know, where's that coming from? And that's they accept. You go through it and figure something out and make a new idea. But yeah, these big jumps, and that's, you know, come up like that. Intuition is a part of it. You know? So he's the Lord of the heart. And by hearing these pastimes, and we should come to the point where we're starting to... Actually, Jayananda told us. I heard from Jayananda's lips. Prabhupada said, if you go on chanting Hare Krishna, you'll see pastimes you never read in any of my books. Okay. So any final questions or something? I think it's time for an award ceremony here, right? Give an award ceremony. Okay, Haribol! Okay. So first off, we want to thank the Purohit, who did the sacrifice yesterday, and we have here Alus de la Bhagavata! Haribol! Spanish edition, which we did this. We got it going there, you know? Yeah. Okay. And then, here we have something else for Su Gopi Radha Devi Dasi. Okay. We've been trapped. And that's not all. There's more. There's something else. Also, we got this. These are Gunja beads from Radharani's beads, like that. So here's some kind of monkey. Looks like he's from Vrindavan. Also, Srinath Krishna Das. Here's Jagannath. Okay, and this is from Peru, handmade in Peru. Okay, and also Upadeshamrita, dedicated by Nitai Gaurasundar. Nitai Gaurasundar sends his congratulations. To okay. So Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki jai, Shishi Lila Avatar ki jai. Not much. Oh, wrong time, huh? Wrong time.
Yes.
Lila Avatars. Puppet shows. Puppet shows.
Actually, Prabhupada said that this building. It was going to spread as a cultural movement, really.
Yeah.
Not as a philosophy or a spiritual movement.
It's a cultural conquest.
Yeah.
Once you've conquered, then you come in with your philosophy. Once people are willing to listen, then you start talking. It's a cultural conquest. And to revitalize.
Isn't also that pretty much how every religious movement began?
A lot of them, the priests were going behind the soldiers. And it's the Spanish, they're very much the British, same with the British. The age of, whatever, was it one? The age of exploration, the colonial empires, the British soldiers, the Spanish soldiers, and the priests would come afterwards, the missionaries would come afterwards. Sometimes the missionaries would go first when they got in trouble, then the army would come and save the missionaries. Yeah?
I mean, also, like after the passing of Jesus, because after the Constantine and what have you, I mean, it was all.